Of it through the reading from the Gospel of Luke first, and then the Epistle to the Romans written by Paul. First, to Luke 18, excuse me, I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. And this is the story of the publican. And this is from Luke 18, beginning verse 9. Then we're going to turn to Romans chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 7. Let's hear the word of God from our Lord, a parable that he told his disciples, and that the Spirit, through his word, tells us. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then turning to Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, hear this, dear people of God. His word to you. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt? But to him that does not work, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Once again, let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thy word is truth. We need to, hear it, and we need to understand it. And we need to bring it home with us. And we need to live according to it. Help us to do that through the reading and the hearing of your word this morning. We are thankful to be here once again to gather as your people. Protect us from this terrible virus. Be pleased to strengthen us. For this we ask in your name. Amen. Also, my text is from chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about three things, justification first, then faith and justification second, and then the third point will be the experience of justification. And I want to pick up on justification. I have preached before on it. I have preached on good works, and I And I think we gravitate towards towards good works sometimes because it's all about good works in this world, isn't it? And in the society today, you hear of social justice, and that trumps social distancing, they say. And it's all about that with people. And perhaps there is something to be said for social justice, but that's not what the gospel really is about. It's certainly about justice, the justice of God towards sinful man. Condemned man, condemned to die, condemned to eternity of hell. That's much more important than any societal emphasis that you hear about. Oh, we are people that are just, aren't we? We don't hate people because of color or creed or custom or whatever, right? We're supposed to love even our enemies and not disgrace the Lord and a gospel and our Christian witness by hating people and despising people and threatening them and intimidating them and canceling their lives. It's horrific. And we would never do that as Christians. Unless we lost ourselves to some illness or anger, something like that. But what's of greater importance is this, that we're all under the judgment of God. The earth is cursed for the sake of man and his sin. The curse is everywhere, and it's not going away until the Lord returns. There's a way to free ourselves from the curse and the judgment of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's what the focus or attention is. Now, I just want to say something about good works. I've spoken before about good works, their nature and their function. And there's two different things there. The nature of good works we usually understand as its fruits, the fruits of faith. Right? Our good works are the fruits of faith, like Jesus said, that tree, good tree that produces good fruit. That's the nature of good works. But then there's a function. And what is that function? What is the motive, if you will, for good works? What are we to do with them? Why do we do them? And that is more difficult for people to understand and to grasp. I do good works. You do good works because of gratitude, right? Because of thanksgiving. An offering unto God of ourselves through our actions. But in order to truly understand that function, the function of good works, we need to understand the doctrine of justification some more, better, and not be confused by the error of the day. That is, in the church, in the Reformed church as well as the Evangelical church, and forget about Rome, that's a false church. It's there in abundance there. But we need to understand this doctrine as best as we can. And it is one that has been historically contentious. It's not something that we should take for granted or forget or be foggy about. Or think, well, that's theology, justification, forensic justification. Our legal status before God. Yeah, that's doctrine. That's cold. Tell me, give me a history lesson. I'm interested in history. Nothing wrong with that for sure, right? I'm interested in the characters of the Bible. I want to know more about them. Nothing wrong with that. It's great. We should. But unless you know the doctrine, you're susceptible, as many are, to the error that abounds in the churches and the churches of the day. So I want to focus our attention on this doctrine. It's imperative because we know when we become conscious of through the gospel and the grace of God, working in conjunction with the Word of God, we begin to see how guilty we are before God, how wretched we are. And we learn and we believe that our nature is such that we can't change it on our own. We can't do good before God apart from His grace. And it presses upon us when we really believe and understand that we are wretched sinners in His sight. That all our good works are as filthy rags. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. There is nothing right about us before Him. Before our eyes, that's a different story. Remember, God speaks to Him. I told you last time, put on your perception glasses that God gives you through His Spirit. And read the Word with understanding. In other words, God is speaking to us on our level, yes, but He is speaking to us. And so we need to see things from His perspective. He has a different perspective, and He wants to bring us up. And He sees us as poor, wretched, depraved sinners. And so we need to understand how we get right, how we stand righteous in His sight. And it can't be through good works. What Paul is saying, there's a righteousness of God apart from works. And that's the forensic idea of righteousness, the legal idea of justification. It's not what James had in mind when he was talking about showing our righteousness, showing our justification through our good works. It's a different use of justification. But Paul is pointing out the forensic use of justification, the legal status without good works. Martin Luther, the great reformer, put it this way. In short, without this article of faith that we are justified and saved only through Christ, and that apart from Him, everything, you might say everyone, is damned, there's no defense or restraint, no boundary or limit for every heresy and error, every sect and faction, with everyone thinking up and broadcasting some peculiar idea of his own. And that's what we have in the church today. We have all these peculiar ideas about how Christians should act and what Christians should believe and how we're going to usher in, how we're going to usher in the kingdom of God on earth and a blissful and happy paradise, a prosperous, wonderful world, bringing ushered in through what? You just have all these peculiar ideas out there. And Luther's pointing out that the crux of this is doctrinal. If you're going to understand the confusion that's out there in the evangelical church as well as the Reformed church, and all the other churches and all the other religions. It boils down to this doctrine. Justification by faith alone, without zero good works. That is anathema to Rome. That's what they said about the reformers. Anyone who thinks that they're justified by faith alone, let him be anathema. Cursed. Damned. They haven't taken that back. That's in Trent. So, what's this idea of justification now? Professor Zinger says, by justification, we refer to the saving work of God, whereby he, through the gospel, speaks to the guilty elect sinner in his consciousness and declares, as touching my law, I find no fault in you, for I have imputed the guilt of all your sins to Christ my Son, who bore your punishment. I behold you as righteous, as if you have perfectly fulfilled all that obedience which my law requires. For I have imputed to you the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ my Son. The light and favor of my countenance shines upon you. You have the right to every spiritual blessing stored up in Jesus Christ. That's what the professor says. One among many, who talks about the imputation, the declaration, ascribing the righteousness, the perfect righteousness, the perfect obedience of Christ to us. By a declaration, an act of God's amazing grace, that he has imputed, ascribed righteousness onto us, a perfect righteousness, a seamless righteousness, not our own, alien, but has imputed it to us, ascribed it to us, declared it, saying, not guilty of any sin. That's justification. Now, to get into this just a little bit more, there are really, when theologians talk about justification, they talk about four things, four types of justification, if you will. They talk about eternal justification. What's eternal justification? Well, think of the counsel of God. In God's eternal counsel, he has declared righteous a people chosen in Christ from all eternity, right? You were in his mind before you were even born. You were declared righteous from before you were born. Some theologians speak like that concerning eternal justification. Then there is objective justification. They talk about objective justification, and that's a reference to the cross. How God secured our justification through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, he was raised for our what? For our justification. That's the objective point of view of justification. The cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the third place, theologians speak of the subjective justification. And that is a reference to how justification comes into our consciousness through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we become conscious and we realize that we've been justified by Jesus. That's a subjective thing. And then the fourth way they speak of justification is the final justification. And you can think of final justification as the court of God, appearing before the tribunal of God, and God declaring to all the world in before all mankind and before the angels in heaven, this man, this woman is justified. So there's those four types of justification. Well, which type are we in here? In the parable, for example, the parable of the publican, where Jesus says of the publican that he went home to his house justified. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Which type do you think that is? It's the third type. It's the subjective justification. He cried in the temple, cried out for the mercy of God. He disdained his good works. He disdained his works as not good, and none of them were good. Not a one. I haven't done anything. I've been a terrible sinner all my life. That man went home justified. And the Apostle Paul, as well, is speaking about that conscious, that subjective justification when he points out that we're saved, we're justified apart from our good works. We're justified by faith alone. By pointing out that if you're seeking a reward, if you're seeking God's favor, if you're seeking God's grace by doing good stuff, whatever that might be, and I know what you think, and I think good stuff, raising your family well, going to work, providing, not being a criminal, not doing anything wrong, not breaking the laws of society, being kind to others. The list goes on and on. You know it. You know it better than I. If you think that you are winning God's favor by doing that, that you are winning God's grace by doing those good things, you're sadly mistaken. You are justified before God. You are made righteous before God. You are right in His sight without any work whatsoever by faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like for that to sink in, if nothing else does. I wish for you and me that sinks deeply into our souls, that I am not doing the good things I'm doing because I'm trying to gain God's favor, that He owes me something. For all the good things I've done. That's what Paul is saying. Justification stands alone. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now there's something else about justification that we ought to realize, and that is the faith and how faith and justification work. I am positive. I am certain. I have no doubt whatsoever that I'm going to heaven. None. Now, why is that? Because I'm a preacher? Because I understand the Word of God? Probably better than most Christians? Why am I positive that I'm going to heaven? Why am I certain? Unwaveringly so. Well, almost. Because along with faith, true faith, that God justifies the unrighteous, the ungodly, through Jesus Christ, comes assurance. Faith and assurance work together. Right? If I have faith, I'm assured. If I lack faith, or if my faith is dim and I have doubts, I'm uninsured and my faith is weak. It's floundering. And that's why I'm trying to build up your faith here, brothers and sisters. And the only way to build up faith is first to understand this doctrine of justification. You won't have the right kind of faith. You won't understand how faith works without understanding that you're justified and righteous before God through Jesus Christ and not through good works. And that's the problem. One of the problems, anyway. We forget. It's not the only problem. That we have the temptation of Satan. We have the confusion of the church, the many voices in the church. We have the confusion of people. We look out and we see that there's good people and bad people. And we get all confused about this. We're too human when it comes to this. We're too emotional. We get grounded. Not grounded in the faith, but grounded in society, grounded in the problem, grounded in COVID-19, grounded in social unrest, grounded in politics, grounded in this and that. We become bogged down. And we become confused. Human. All of us. We're susceptible. And what it does is all this stuff that's going on now hampers, tempts down your faith. And you begin to look outside of faith and even outside the scriptures for answers. I mean, who doesn't want to have an answer for the unrest that's in society now, or an answer for the disease that's out and about and ravaging the lives of many? Who does one have an answer for that? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is faith in a Savior. And it begins with understanding this doctrine of justification. And once we understand it, and we understand that along with faith comes assurance, we become stable. If we don't, we become unstable. It really does. I don't think I'm overemphasizing when I say it really begins with this kind of thing. A true and vital understanding of this truth in Scripture. I become certain of my salvation. I become secure of my salvation, come what may. Because I believe I am justified before God apart from anything I do or anything I say or anything I am. I'm righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then we can go on. Oh, in a secure, stable way. Now, I might have my doubts. From time to time, I have had my doubts, although very seldom have I doubted my salvation in the course of my Christian life. In the beginning, I didn't really understand how I got it. I thought I did it. I thought I willed my salvation. I made the choice, you know, free will. I believe that. But it wasn't too long after I became saved that I realized it's not I who love God first, it's He who loved me first and gave Himself on the cross for me. That I became stable. So I have seldom doubted my salvation since the day I was born again. But I can't say that about a lot of people, a lot of Christians I've met. Why? They don't understand doctrine. They don't care about doctrine. They think it's boring. They think it's useless. They think it just makes for fights and arguments. And it can. It can do that. Because we get defensive and we're unclear and people challenge and we get, you know, fighty. But that's not because the faith lacks assurance or certainty. It's because of my sin, right? If I doubt my salvation, if I doubt my status before God, my righteousness before God, because of bad things I do or say or something, that's not faith. That's sin, right? Sin brings on into your life uncertainties, in the plural. Faith doesn't. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a grace. Faith, along with faith comes assurance of my salvation. You will never be assured of it. You will always be susceptible if you don't understand this doctrine of justification. Now, it doesn't mean you have to understand all the things that I just said, like the four differences that theologians talk about, the four differences. That's not the point. The point is that you have to become like the publican in the parable. In other words, you have to disdain your works. Your works are all bad. Nothing good about them. The Pharisee, Jesus said, did not go home justified. Why? Because he was boasting about his works. He was lifting himself up above everyone, and especially the publican, because of his works. I tithe, I fast, I'm not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, or whatever, and I'm certainly not like this publican. Jesus said that man did not go home justified. But the man who could not lift up his eyes to heaven, who beat upon his breast, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Disdaining his works. His works were bad. That man went home justified. Unless you become like the publican. And remember that. You'll never be confident. And you'll be subject to all kinds of errors and all kinds of heresies. And you probably wouldn't even know it. But you don't understand. You're not interested in doctrine. You're not interested in truth, spiritual truth. You're interested in whatever else. And there's a thousand things to be interested in, right? That distract, that take away our attention from what really matters. And that is our faith in Jesus Christ alone, justifying us before God to get us righteous, readying us for heaven. There's a place for good works. Absolutely. But it's not to be made righteous before God. This brings up the experience of justification. Let's talk practical, right? Okay, I get your point about the doctrine, how important it is. It's the hinge upon which the church door swings. But what about the experience of justification? Can I have an experience? And Paul says it best of all in chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans. Therefore, being what? Full of good works? No. Therefore, being a good person? No. Therefore, being justified by faith, without works. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you like peace? You want peace? You want peace to reign in your life, come what may? Are you at peace now? Are you worried about COVID-19, about the unrest that's in society, about hostilities and all that that's going on? You see it on the television, you hear about it all, everybody's talking about it, right? Are you at peace regardless of all this? Why not? You worried about getting COVID-19? You worried about that? You worried about the rioters coming around here and doing something bad to you? What are you worried about? Finances? Job? Retirement? What worries you? Your health? Kids? Therefore, being justified by faith, I, put yourself in there, Peter or whomever, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Peace like a river flowing into my soul. Paul points this out too in Romans chapter 4, the previous chapter here, when he says in verse 3, for the scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then he talks about work. And if you view work, then it's not of grace, but it's of debt. But to him that works not, but believes that God justifies the ungodly, which we are, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then David goes, he quotes David. He remembers the Psalm, Psalm 32, which we read responsively earlier on. He says, even David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so what he's saying is that David was not only talking about himself, he was talking about his experience, that I have been forgiven all my sins and all my iniquities, not because of something I did, but because
of what God did for me. And because what I believe in what God has done for me, he's forgiven all my sins and iniquities, and now we know better, that is through Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and his resurrection, that I'm justified, I'm blessed. I'm being blessed in my life. And David was a warrior, right? I think David was the greatest warrior man that ever lived. He was able to take on anyone. And he was a warrior. In fact, that's why he was told by God that he could not build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands from war, right? From all the fighting that he did. So God didn't bless him because of all that. God sent blessing into his life by forgiving him all his sins. And I was blessed. And then later Paul says in the next chapter, I have peace with God because I'm justified by faith, not because of the things that I've done. You see how that go together? The publican went home justified. In other words, the publican, after he disdained all his works as filthy rags in the sight of God, and he cried out for mercy, he received peace because he was forgiven all his sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not relying on his works. David was blessed. Blessed of God being a warrior of the first order. But he was blessed of God because he was, not because he conquered his enemies, but because he was forgiven all his sin and iniquity through faith. Faith alone. And isn't that an extremely important message for us to hear today? Yeah, there's a place for good works. Who could deny it? The Bible is replete with good works. The fruit of faith. The expressions of love and gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Absolutely, positively. Plenty of room for good works. But not when it comes to your standing before God. You stand or you fall before God on this doctrine of justification by faith alone. If you don't know it, if you don't have it, probably you're not saved. But even if you are, because you're too young to understand all this, you're still confused. And you're doubting. And you're not so secure. You want security. You want assurance. You want certainty. You want blessedness. You want peace in your life. Peace, come what may. Then believe that God justifies the ungodly, which is you and me, by faith, through faith. And faith is not of you. It's a gift of God, not of works, not of will. It's a gift of God. God justifies through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you for your truth. Your truth is, your word is, of course, truth, and it just gratifies the heart. Thank you, Lord, for making it clear. And it's taken a while. If we look at the history of the church, it's been back and forth and up and down. But even before the reformers, there was this doctrine, so certainly in the scripture, but people pointed it out long before. Augustine pointed it out long before the reformers did. We are justified by faith alone, not by works.
Thank you for making us righteous in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose name we pray. Amen.